This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07, it's 68 degrees in Chapel Hill. We look for showers this afternoon. 70% chance of rain, and we'll be breezy, and our high temperature today in the low 70s, so not a lot of change. It's a one time of the year when superheroes, rock stars, ghosts, and goblins alike descend on Chapel Hill and roam Franklin Street. This Halloween, police estimated the crowd at 30,000. That's actually up from last year's total of 22,000. With tighter restrictions in place, town leaders had hoped they would decrease this year's turnout. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Chapel Hill Police Lieutenant Kevin Gunter said that no arrests were made in the closed area of Franklin Street. Though there weren't any major incidents, Gunter said that the town will continue to work to reduce crowd sizes.
Our goal is to keep reducing the numbers. You know, at some point we'll get down to a point where it is much more manageable, but even 20,000 people is can pose a certain problem.
Though attendance was up this Halloween, attendance has declined steadily in the past several years since the town initiated homegrown Halloween after more than 80,000 people filled Franklin Street on Halloween night in 2007. Gunter said with less people, especially out-of-towners, it puts less of a strain on police. 300 law enforcement officers patrolled this year's Halloween celebration. 250 were from agencies outside of the local jurisdiction. Daniel Surratt, a bar manager at Top of the Hill, has been in Chapel Hill for the past 7 Halloweens. He said the town's effort to reduce the Halloween crowd doesn't make a drastic difference in profits.
Once again, the people that are coming in after one probably don't need another drink anyway. So, I mean, it's certainly easier on us. The crowd starts to clear out a little bit earlier, which is such a long night that that's not that bad of a thing to happen.
UNC Chancellor Carol Foltz was walking along Franklin Street in Carolina blue sneakers given to her by Director of Athletics Bubba Cunningham. She said she was loving her first Chapel Hill Halloween experience.
I'm seeing some pretty amazing costumes, but I actually have been impressed, you know, a lot of little kids here and families and, you know, a million students, and also the whole town coming together to make sure it's safe. It's really pretty amazing.
And the costumes were amazing. Dean Nahama and his friends took a page from pop culture and went as the Men at Twerk.
The whole craze about twerking right now, we thought it's a pretty good idea, like a clever little pun on it, like a play on words.
Carborough High School student Catherine Dunleavy, who was dressed as Ginger Spice of the Spice Girls, said she wished the crowd was more intense like in years past.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, yeah, but I think it'll get bigger as the night goes on.
Other students, like UNC freshman John Alice, also known as Anchorman Ron Burgundy for the night, didn't seem to mind the smaller crowd. Alice was accompanied by his Action 4 News team, who weren't afraid to break into song.
Sky rockets in flight, woo! Afternoon delight,
woo! And there you have it.
Afternoon delight.
Fred Porter, who went as the Village People's motorcyclist, dressed up as a group along with his friends.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, we just decided on this a couple weeks ago. We have a big group of friends. We were like, what can we all go as? And Village People.
James Rockefeller Gray was promoting for the bar East End and said that the energy on Franklin Street was just the same as it always had been.
Rockefeller Gray, right now I'm dressed as a rapper, gangster with a gold chain, handing out lollipops.
And though law enforcement tried to keep the celebration for locals only through road closures and parking limitations, some outsiders, like Shane Grant of Charlotte, still found a way in.
If you'd see what we were driving in, you'd be amazed. A box truck. And we still found parking.
Where'd you park?
On the other end, down in McDonald's.
And just a bit later than scheduled, Franklin Street was cleared at 11:45 p.m. and then open to traffic by 12:45 a.m. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The UNC Department of Public Safety needs your help finding the suspects of a strong-arm robbery that took place early this morning. A UNC student reported four black males in T-shirts and jeans as the suspects. The incident reportedly occurred in the Arboretum near Cameron Avenue around 1 o'clock in the morning. UNC DPS is asking anyone with information about this incident to call the UNC Police Department at 919-962-8100 or contact the Chapel Hill Carborough UNC Crime Stoppers at 919-942-7515. Calls are confidential and anonymous. You can also submit information to Crime Stoppers online at crimestoppers-chcunc.org. We have all of that contact information on our website at chapelboro.com. The short session of the North Carolina General Assembly doesn't begin until June. Senator Valerie Fushi of Chapel Hill says she's taking the time to meet with the people she represents, both in Raleigh and out in the community.
I've established office hours in Raleigh, and I've also engaged in town hall meetings. I've had two of them now, one in Hillsboro and one in Pittsburgh. So it's been exciting getting to meet new people and having the opportunity to reconnect with others that I've served before and just hearing their concerns.
Senator Fushi was appointed to the District 23 seat, replacing 17-year Senator Ellie Kinnaird, also of Chapel Hill. She left the House of Representatives District 50 seat, which was recently filled by Greg Meyer. The legislative shuffle leaves Senator Fushi and Representative appointee Meyer finishing out the terms that expire in December of next year. That puts a primary election 1 week before either will officially govern from the new seat.
I didn't run to campaign. I ran to serve. And so I serve every day. So I don't give too much thought about who's going to run or what's going to happen. Every day when I step outside, I'm thinking of how I'm serving the people of District 23.
WCHL previously talked with Greg Meyer about his strategy for holding on to the seat. You can find that story on our website at chapelboro.com. Hopeful municipal and school board leaders are currently fighting that fight in Orange County. Election Day comes up on Tuesday. If the early voting period is a sign of things to come, Senator Fushi says she's concerned about this year's turnout in Orange County.
I'm hoping that people are not developing complacency because this is critical that we do exercise our right to vote.
And she says it's important to get the right people in office, not just for governing us at the local level.
One of the ways we prepare leaders for state and national levels is to be involved at the local level because all politics is local.
Tune in to the WCHL Sunday Morning News to hear about a town hall meeting that Fushi is holding at Chapel Hill next week. She says you can meet with her on Wednesdays from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. in the Legislative Office Building. Your state's 74th governor will join me this morning on the WCHL Morning News about 7:30 to answer questions about a host of items, including the decision not to expand Medicare. North Carolina District 23 Senator Fushi says there's no reason he ought to let that happen.
We need an answer as to why we would not provide health care coverage for 500,000 persons in North Carolina. Why would we reject almost 25,000 jobs related to that expansion, and how many hospitals have to close before we realize that that was an error in judgment?
In his first term as governor, McCrory was also faced with weekly protests, resulting in nearly 1,000 arrests of citizens. The Moral Monday protest even received national attention. 1 week in August, Governor McCrory was criticized for delivering a plate of cookies to protesters of an abortion bill he signed into law as to what the Washington Post called a let's make up gesture. The protesters left the plate of cookies with a note reading, "We want women's health care, not cookies." I'll also ask the governor how he feels about Congress's decision to partially shut down the government for 16 days, which ended in an open-ended decision. The government is now funded until January 15th, and the debt ceiling was raised to February 7th, which leaves us open to having it all happen again. Tune in at 7:30. You can hear the governor on WCHL. It's not likely that a late surge at the polls will get the early voting numbers to equal those of 2 years ago, but more and more people are making their voices heard. Orange County's four voting sites saw another uptick. 170 voters cast their ballots on Wednesday. However, the totals from 2 years ago averaged more than 300 voters per day, with peaks at more than 500. There's still time to check the box, with polls open through Saturday. And for heaven's sake, don't go to the polls without the information. You can find all the information you need on all of our local candidates on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. It is time now for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL, and this traffic report is brought to you by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Good food, fine wine, lots of fun. Online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. WCHL's Rand Northam is here with a look at the roadways.
Thank you very much, Ron. NC 54 eastbound and westbound, as we see just about every morning, seeing a delay between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40. Moderate delays right now, nothing heavy at this time. The Durham Freeway, I-40, 15501, Estes Drive, MLK, and Franklin Streets all moving smoothly from our view, and the rest of NC 54 as well. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do it safely.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. If you need a new watch battery, something really simple like that, or a very special purchase of an engagement ring, or maybe a custom piece you've been dreaming of, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Grimble's, Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler on Elliott Road in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods. It is 67 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Showers likely this afternoon, 70% chance of it. Also breezy, high today about 72. Tonight, cloudy and 50-50 chance of showers. Cooler temperatures tonight, lows in the middle 50s. And then tomorrow, we'll look at it mostly sunshine with a high in the upper 60s.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world with instantly live streaming. You can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM. WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
A lot to cover this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started with WCHL Championship Sports. Brought to you by UNC Healthcare. I'm Ron Stutz. Carolina football team is primed and ready for battle this weekend. The players have been saying all the right things this week, but what about the coaching staff now on the eve of this big game at North Carolina State? WCHL's Matt Oakes has the story.
The UNC football team is set to add another chapter to its gridiron rivalry against the NC State Wolfpack on Saturday. The Tar Heels will be looking to get a little winning streak going with a win in Raleigh, a place where Carolina has not tasted success since 2005. To make things more complicated, head coach Larry Fedora says that due to injuries at the quarterback position, the offense the Wolfpack roll out at Carter-Finley Stadium remains a mystery. Coach Fedora is even soliciting help from the media to do a little scouting.
It's still a mystery because, you know, you don't know. I mean, they all four do something different. You don't know exactly who's going to play and or how healthy all of them are, so you don't know all the details. If you guys would go over and watch practice and let me know, I'd help. But, we put a game plan in and we're preparing. The main thing is that we understand the game plan.
However, there is some very positive news for Tar Heel fans and maybe bad news for opposing defenses. Coach Fedora now says the full offensive playbook package is now at quarterback Marquise Williams' complete disposal.
Yeah, we have not restricted him in any way. He still has some packages that he's in charge of, but he's got, I mean, the entire game plan, he's running. Whatever we got going in the game plan, he's got.
It's a big rivalry, that's for sure. North Carolina and North Carolina State tomorrow, game time 12:30. Our coverage will start at 9 o'clock in the morning with the WCHL's countdown to kickoff presented by UNC Healthcare. Tar Heel fans have been thinking back to the last minute of last year's home game against NC State. SBNation.com released its top 100 college football games of 2012 in January. The 43-35 Carolina win over NC State came in at number 6 on that list. WCHL's Rand Northam has a listen back to that special day.
Renner in the shotgun. Hands off to Bernard. Bernard to the 5. Bernard to the end zone for 6. Carolina marches down the field. 6 plays, 85 yards, and a touchdown.
That's Jones Angel with the call on the Tar Heel Sports Network. The Tar Heels opened up a 15-0 lead at Kenan Stadium before the Wolfpack got on the board. But former UNC offensive guard Brian Chakos says the excitement started before the game even kicked off.
It came out with the guys wearing the white helmets in pregame, and then they come back in, and everyone, you know, hopefully has seen the video where the chrome helmets with the Tar Heel footprint on the side of the helmets, and the kids get really excited in the locker room. And I think that really sort of propelled them to come out, sort of with an explosion of great plays and you know, really just high energy.
Staring at a two-score deficit on the road, State punched the ball in once before Carolina added three more and another seven from Bernard to take the 25-7 lead. But from the end of the first quarter to the end of the third quarter, the Wolfpack owned the gridiron.
Glennon all day over the middle. Touchdown, NC State.
Mike Glennon, unfortunately, is a you know a very good passer. He'll be one of the top-rated quarterbacks in this upcoming NFL draft.
Glennon sprints out to the far side. Going to go deep all alone. Caught, and that's going to go for a touchdown to Tobias Palmer. 83 yards. How in the world did the Heels lose him?
With 30 seconds left in the game and the contest tied at 35, the Carolina defense called a timeout after forcing State to 4th and 10.
Bernard is back to return. He's set up at the 36.
Bernard was suffering from a tweaked ankle and had not returned punts since the first half.
Roy Smith was the player who's a backup punt returner for us that he turned to and just said, you know what, let me take a shot at this. And that's what big-time players do. When it's a big-time moment in a game, they want the ball in their hands.
35, 35, 30 seconds left. Tar Heels do set up the return. Great kick by Bauman.
It was a team effort, and as the clock ticked down, history was made at Keenan Stadium that 27th of October.
Bernard fields it at the 26th. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is, Gio. He's going to take it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me?
That 74-yard punt return gave North Carolina the 41-35 lead.
He can do it all.
However, the Tar Heels weren't finished. First-year head coach Larry Fedora wanted to seal the deal.
Hibbert's going to try the two-point conversion. Snap to him, goes to the end zone, completes the pass for two.
The pass to Jack Tabb gave UNC the 43-35 lead, which gave Carolina its sixth win of the season, and more importantly, broke a five-year losing streak to its rival. After the game, Bernard was grinning ear to ear.
I told myself, you know, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time situations. And, I told myself to get out there, and, Coach Fedora called a great punt return. And, that's my favorite one right there. I ain't going to put out the name, but for me, you know, I love that punt return, and I was able to hit the outside and take it for a home run.
UNC finished this season 8-4 as the de facto Coastal Division champions. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Well, I tell you, if you weren't fired up for the game, you're fired up for it now, right? Game time tomorrow, 12:30. Our coverage will begin at 9 o'clock in the morning at WCHL Carolina and North Carolina State. Believe it or not, week 11 of high school gridiron action is upon us. It will feature some intriguing matchups on 97.9 FM, WCHL, and ChapelBlue.com at 7 o'clock tonight. Tune in to the undefeated Orange Panthers as they continue their drive toward perfection. This week, head coach Pat Moser's team welcomes a formidable opponent in the form of the 7-2 Crusaders of Cardinal Gibbons. Last week, Orange throttled struggling Webb 56-7. Cardinal Gibbons survived, improving Chapel Hill 47-36. Will the Panthers be able to shut down the Crusader attack and move to 10-0? You won't want to miss this one. Tune in to pregame and live game coverage from Orange High School with Paul Connell tonight at 6:30. Exclusively on ChapelBlue.com, you can catch the 7-2 Northwood Chargers. They look to keep things rolling at home against the Chapel Hill Tigers. Chapel Hill has proven to be a tough out in their past two games against powerhouses Orange and Cardinal Gibbons. What do the Tigers have left for Coach Bill Hall's high-flying Chargers? Tune in to pregame coverage and live game play-by-play streaming on our website, ChapelBlue.com. Jeff Hamlin will have the call from Pittsburgh. And don't forget, each Friday at 6 p.m., WCHL's duo of Matt Oaks and Matt Paul will break down all the big games, sitting down with the head coaches of many of your favorite teams, releasing WCHL and Chapelboro's Super 6 rankings, making some bold predictions, and unveiling the grid grade of the week. And tonight, Matt and Matt will chat with Orange's Pat Moser, Chapel Hill's Isaac Marsh, and Northwood's Bill Hall. You can listen to previous podcasts and follow all the latest on the grid with Matt and Matt on our high school football page by clicking the WCHL link on the navigation bar at the top of our website, chapelboro.com. On a beautiful Halloween evening, the number 4 Tar Heels owned the Soccer Fitch against their rival, beating the Duke Blue Devils 3-0 in the regular season final for Carolina women's soccer. Next up for the Tar Heels, the ACC Tournament quarterfinals. quarterfinals in Chapel Hill Sunday, 1 o'clock, against an opponent yet to be determined. Number 12 UNC volleyball team kicks off its Florida swing tonight against a number 20 Florida State Seminoles. The first time under head coach Joe Segula, the Tar Heels reached 20 wins before November. Last time out, Tar Heels shut down Pittsburgh 3-1. And the Carolina men's basketball team hopes to get its season underway in similar fashion to the UNC women's team earlier this week. 11th-ranked Carolina women's team had six players scoring in double figures in a 111-50 exhibition win over Carson Newman on Wednesday night in Carmichael Arena. Friday night, it will be the men's turn at 7:30 in the Smith Center with an exhibition against UNC Pembroke, the only warm-up contest for the Tar Heels before regular season action gets underway next Friday against Oakland. I'm Ron Stutz, 727 at WCHL.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The Tar Heels and Wolfpack should be like ships crossing at noon. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. If you're a betting man or woman, bet on Carolina Saturday in its 12:30 showdown with NC State. These are two programs currently moving in opposite directions, and the game has developed a certain feel over the last 2 weeks. State was clobbered at Florida State, while the Heels were putting their best games of the season together against Miami and Boston College. A UNC win would leave both teams with identical 3-5 records heading into the last month of the season. But on paper and otherwise, there is nothing equal about the programs right now. The Tar Heels are recovering from a poor, mistake-prone start that cost them a couple of victories, and they have emerged with a revitalized running game that features four different backs and an alternate quarterback who is as big a threat with his legs as with his arm, and he's not even the starter. Talk out of both locker rooms are of redemption after most of their preseason goals have been eliminated. State and Carolina can still get six W's and qualify for a bowl, and the Wolfpack and Tar Heels both have winnable games the rest of the way. State goes to Duke and BC after this weekend and finishes at home with East Carolina and Maryland. But unless quarterback Brandon Mitchell is fully recovered and can show the form he flashed in the season opener, State does not have the firepower on either side of the ball to get to be bowl eligible. The Heels are a different story and a different team. They are healthier than earlier in the season and deeper with the emergence of T.J. Logan, Chris Francis, Ryan Switzer, Marquise Williams, and Bug Howard on offense, and youngsters on defense like Mikey Bart, Des Lawrence, Malik Simmons, and Dominique Green, who are not only improving every week but also becoming the new faces of the program, reasons why the future of Tar Heel football is so bright. But it doesn't have to be wait till next year. From a local rivalry standpoint, Carolina still has its two most important games ahead. It will be a November to remember if the Heels can begin by whipping the Wolfpack in Raleigh and end by beating the Duke Blue Devils in Chapel Hill. Remember, I've predicted 6-0 over the last half of the schedule, and it continues tomorrow in Raleigh. Easier than you think. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
This is Meg Branson, Senior Vice President of the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce, inviting you to join us on November 13th for the inaugural Business Hall of Fame Gala and Induction Ceremony, honoring business leaders with a record of achievement and who have made a positive and lasting impact on our community. Special thanks to our sponsors, East 54 and Obi Creek, PNC Bank, Vilcom, Performance Automall, and the Word Factory.
Hall of Fame Gala, a black tie celebration, is November 13th at the Carolina Inn in Chapel Hill. Visit carolinachamber.org to buy your tickets today.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Core Pilates. It's 68% off, $155 for four Pilates sessions, available now for $49. Pilates is designed to work the deepest muscles in the body with exercises that initiate from the core. The highly trained instructors at Carolina Core Pilates focus on helping each client meet their fitness needs. And with today's deal, you'll get one private session and three small group sessions. It's 68% off from Carolina Core Pilates, and it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
All right, 67 degrees in Chapel Hill, 7:30 at WCHL. Showers likely this afternoon, 70% chance of rain. Rather breezy as well. High today, about 72 degrees.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. 47 million people may get that hungry feeling. Starting today, their food stamp benefits will be cut by 5%, maybe more. Maryland Food Bank CEO Deborah Flaitman on who needs the help.
These are families that are really on the edge anyway, and so every penny counts.
So do the food stamps that 900,000 veterans receive. Their benefits are being cut. More from correspondent Bob Fuss.
The reason food stamps are being reduced slightly is that a temporary boost to help out during the recession has expired. There's no chance Congress will extend it because the fight right now is over how much more to cut the program. Negotiators on the Farm Bill, which covers nutrition programs, are trying to reach agreement, with Senate Democrats resisting efforts by House Republicans to sharply reduce food stamp funding.
Another recipient who's affected, this 2010 college grad who lives in Philadelphia. No full-time work yet. He works temp with a wife and a baby.
We're behind on rent and bills this month already, and there's just not much money left over.
For food, he'll be short now with less food stamp money coming to him. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 68 degrees in Chapel Hill at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. The governor is on the line. Governor Pat McCrory joins us this morning. And, Governor, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot for having me. I'm recovering from a great night at the mansion with hundreds upon hundreds of young kids at the coming trick-or-treat.
Well, as you know, it was a wild and crazy night for Halloween in Chapel Hill as well, with a lot of people here. I have to begin by asking you why you did not call for a special session to discuss Medicaid expansion. That's what everyone wants to know.
Well, the first reason is because we've got to fix the current Medicaid system that we have in North Carolina. And my goal right now is to ensure that we're getting Medicaid to what the program was originally designed for, and that is the elderly, the disabled, women, and children. And that's who Medicaid was, you know, that's why the law was passed to help them. And we're running out of money for them right now. And they more than anyone else deserve Medicaid. That's what the federal program was meant to be. And we've got to fix the program we have now. And right now, at last year's, was over $500 million of cost overruns. So I always believe that before you expand something, you fix what you got first. And we still have a lot of fixing to do with the existing Medicaid program in North Carolina.
Now, we spoke with Senator Valerie Fischie of Chapel Hill, and she was recently appointed to District 23 and said mm-hmm. this expansion would produce 25,000 jobs. Now, in this economy, why would you not fight for more employment opportunities?
I have no idea where she gets that figure, because she's not talking about the cost to the taxpayers, which also eliminate jobs, and the taxes we'd maybe have to increase to expand Medicaid, especially not just this year, but 3 years from now. And, yeah, we would hire more government jobs, to administrative jobs, to implement Medicaid, because I'd have to hire a lot new bureaucracy to expand the Medicaid system. But she's not counting the impact of having $500 million of cost overruns. And if we continue to do that, if I didn't have those overruns in Medicaid, we could give major salary increases to every teacher in North Carolina. And we've got to fix the Medicaid system.
We're speaking with North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory this morning. Governor, Moral Monday protests took front and center in the media for many weeks over the summer. Many people being arrested, including countless people here in Orange County. How did those protests affect you?
Well, I listened to them. I mean, I think everyone should have the right to protest. Now, I don't think everyone has the right to get arrested, and if they do get arrested, they got to pay the penalty. But I think they, you know, I had protesters in front of the mansion the other day, in front of the executive mansion, and they have every right to protest, and I welcome that opportunity. But then if they get arrested and they break the laws, which, you know, they sign up for a permit to march and so forth, which is part of our laws in the nation, but once they break the law, you know, they've got to pay the penalty for it. And so it works both ways. So you got to have order, but you also ought to allow protest. And I welcome that.
What would you say to those people who got arrested, who attended the protest, or who thinks that he or she might join the protest if they start up again, like the group leaders have expressed?
I'd say we agree to disagree on many issues. A lot of them are fighting to keep the same status quo that we've had in North Carolina for the last 10 years, which has resulted in North Carolina being the fifth highest unemployment rate in the country, one of the highest tax states in the country, and where, frankly, we are no longer competitive with even our neighboring states of South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. And I'm fighting to change some of the policies that I think are very ineffective in North Carolina, and I respectfully disagree. You know, but we ought to show respect for each other in that disagreement. I don't believe in the name calling and the shouting and the screaming and the cussing, but I do respect the people who disagree with me, and I welcome the debate as long as it's a respectful debate, and that's the type of civility I think we ought to have among politicians too, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. And that's my history in the past, and that's the type of culture that I want in state government also.
We're speaking with North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory on WCHL. Governor, if you would, give us your general thoughts first on the 16-day partial government shutdown.
I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous and got us nowhere. You know, this is where we didn't have discussions, which we should have, between the White House and the House and the Senate. They should have gotten a room, locked themselves up, and not coming out of the room until they came out with a deal. There was, I don't think, any reason for the shutdown, and it caused us a lot of problems here in North Carolina. You know, I had to, we had over 3,000 employees that were furloughed, state employees that were furloughed. And now what's ironic, those that were furloughed will probably still be paid, while other state employees who actually worked, didn't have time off. But, you know, it just causes nothing but problems. And I hope that it doesn't happen again. And I encourage Republicans and Democrats to work together. And I request the president to lead that effort and get people, you know, go up to Camp David. I've even offered the Western residents, go up to the Western residents, get the three leaders, the Senate leader, the House leader, and the president in a room, and they ought to be doing it right now in preparation for January. Do not wait until January to start talks again. Start doing it right now.
What about January, February? Are we going to see it all over again?
I'm afraid we are if there are talks not going on right now. And I know there are a few congressional committees working right now, but from all our indications, they've already retreated back into their corners. But this is where the president needs to show leadership. And literally, I'd recommend them using Camp David or go to Asheville. But they need to start working on it now. They can't, again, wait until the last moment until everything starts falling apart, which happened during the October time period.
Some of our elected officials actually said it was their goal to shut down the government. Do you agree with that?
No. I think they're dead wrong on that. I don't agree. We shouldn't have a goal to shut down the government. We should have a goal to work out our differences and be problem solvers. And that takes leadership on both sides of the aisle and takes leadership from both Congress leaders and the president. And they ought to be doing it right now. They ought to. They shouldn't be on vacation at all. They ought to be. At least the leadership working on solutions right now.
Well, as you said, it certainly cost us a lot of money and certainly was expensive for all of us here in North Carolina. I know that, to be fair today, we're talking with the Governor, Pat McCrory. You actually have some good news about some something new in North Carolina and some new jobs in our state.
Well, we're very pleased that MetLife, we're doing a major groundbreaking for MetLife today. We're going to have over 2,400 jobs coming in North Carolina. Half of them will be in Cary. We worked hard on that recruitment during my first months in office, and these are the kind of jobs that are good for all of North Carolina, and all of North Carolina will benefit. We're, Sharon Ducker, my Commerce Secretary, is just doing an outstanding job of traveling the nation and traveling the state, not just recruiting new jobs. Our goal is to get existing jobs to expand here in North Carolina, and that was one of my philosophies coming into the governor's. You spend as much time recruiting existing companies to grow and expand in North Carolina as you do bringing new companies in from outside. But this is a great announcement for the state and for the Triangle. It's fantastic, and I look forward to new people getting new jobs and dealing with very difficult times right now. Our biggest challenge right now for North Carolina is small towns, rural towns in North Carolina. So even when I meet with the Research Triangle Park Authority, I'm going, can we expand that concept to include Roxborough and Pittsburgh and Tarboro and other areas that are suffering very high unemployment? And that's our greatest challenge. I see the Triangle, the Triad, and the Charlotte region and Wilmington coming back pretty good. We're getting some great recruitment for jobs in those areas. But our biggest challenge is how do we deal with the small rural towns, you know, between 20 and 50,000 people, in which industry has just left during the last 40 years. And we need to revive those towns and tie them into the economic regions that I just mentioned through infrastructure, education, and communication.
Governor, how many more new jobs are you talking about here, and when will this actually take place?
Well, we're making announcements about every week. I don't have an exact number, but let me tell you, I spend probably well over 50% of my time, and it's off the media cameras, in recruiting businesses and talking to businesses. I talked to two yesterday, and I'll be talking to more next week. And Sharon Decker and I are kind of connected to the hip, working on both existing and new customers coming in North Carolina or expanding here in North Carolina. So that's our goal, and that's one reason we did tax reform, which has really seen a benefit of looking at existing companies possibly expanding here as opposed to considering neighboring states. And that's especially important for neighboring cities up in the mountains near Tennessee or in Wilmington or in Elizabeth City or even in Charlotte area that borders South Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee. A lot of businesses were just going across the border to save a couple percentage points on taxes, and these are the things we had to consider in our tax reform.
Governor, we would like to invite you to come on at any time and speak with us on WCHL. We're out of time right now, and we appreciate your joining us this morning.
I welcome the opportunity anytime. Thank you very much, and next holiday is going to be great, too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. It is 7:43 at WCHL. We're speaking with Governor Pat McCrory of North Carolina, and we have today's commentary on the way next on WCHL. Jim Warren talks about Duke Energy and the decisions it has to make very soon. That is coming up next on WCHL.
One in five Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. Central Dermatology Center treats cancers where it is important to conserve tissue and high-risk areas such as the ears, face, hands, and feet. Mohs micrographic surgery is a highly effective technique and can be covered by most insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE. Dr. Beth Goldstein has been specializing in Mohs surgery since 2008. If you're concerned about a non-healing spot or a changing mole, make an appointment at Central Dermatology Center. Find out more at centralderm.net.
I'm thinking about refinancing my mortgage, but how do I know if it's a good idea?
Call Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown.
I'm really trying to save for my kids' college education, but how much is even enough?
Call Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown.
Retirement planning? Where do I even begin?
Call Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown.
Hi, this is Mark Brown. At Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown, we care about you. And our CPAs and advisors are ready to help you answer all of life's financial questions.
Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown, serving Chapel Hill since 1975.
Our people make the difference.
Having a nice lawn is not impossible.
Our mission at Landscape Logic is to help you discover the possibilities for your landscape. We'll evaluate your landscape, prioritize your needs so that you can make a decision based on practicality or economics. We are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to create a finished and kept look for your landscape.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visit LandscapeLogicNC.com. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
This is Ed Harrison, Chapel Hill Town Council member. Chapel Hill faces many challenges. Over the past 12 years, I've worked hard to protect our environment from the effects of development, to make it easier around town, and above all, to answer your questions and concerns. I believe I've earned your trust. I ask for your vote to reelect me, Ed Harrison, to the Chapel Hill Town Council.
This ad is paid for by Ed Harrison for Town Council.
7:45 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Jim Warren. Long predicted and hopeful changes are quickly occurring in the electric power industry, even as scientists and bizarre weather remind us that dramatic action is needed to avert irreversible climate and economic chaos. Duke Energy, based in Charlotte and serving Orange County, is now the world's largest electric utility, so Duke could become a climate game changer. The power industry's own trade group is warning that U.S. utilities trying to hang on to monopoly control over customers while raising rates repeatedly
to build fossil and nuclear power plants face a corporate death spiral because of failing. The power industry's own trade group is warning that U.S. utilities trying to hang on to monopoly control over customers while raising rates repeatedly to build fossil and nuclear power plants face a corporate death spiral because of falling prices of solar power and other market advances. Many U.S. homes and businesses now generate their own electricity with rooftop solar, and several companies are now marketing solar PV paired with small conventional generators and storage systems. All this spells decreasing purchases of coal, gas, and nuclear power. NC Warren continues to wrestle Duke Energy over rate hikes, pollution, and its puny commitment to renewable power in the Carolinas. Since the clean energy revolution is inevitable, NC Warren keeps appealing to Duke leaders. Let's work together and make the shift now while there's still time to avert the climate change tipping point. This is Jim Warren.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
In Chapel Hill, businesses do more than just sell products and services. They help create our community. We call it Commerce Plus. We're home to businesses who invest in local causes, sustainable technologies, and use environmentally friendly business practices. Add it up for yourself. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals our community. Chapel Hill, open for business, to business, and where business is Commerce Plus. Find out more at opentobusiness.biz.
Your opportunity to call in and get qualified to win in the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple giveaway presented by Seagroves Insurance. That's coming up in just a few minutes here. Next hour on WCHL, we've been selecting finalists each week from our 38 great sponsor locations. And with a list of all those sponsor locations, go to our website at chapelboro.com. Now, time for traffic and weather together on WCHL, and this traffic report is brought to you by Elmo's Diner, voted best breakfast and best kid-friendly by a number of local media. Elmo's Diner at Carmel Mall in Carrboro. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rand North.
Thank you very much, Ron. No truck fire this morning. That's good news, at least not reported, and we'll hope that that stays off the roadways. It was quite a mess in Mevin yesterday. 1551 southbound between I-40 and the East Franklin area, East Franklin split and Ephesus Church Road area, seeing a little delay there. NC-54 heading westbound between Barbie Chapel Road and 15501, also seeing a delay. Otherwise, things are moving smoothly. No accidents reported right now. No additional delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. And let's talk about Chapelboro next hour.
How yes,
about
sir. That sounds good.
Let's do that. WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by Southern Season. Now's your last chance to sign up for the homebrew contest at southernseason.com. Beer extravaganza is November 9th with prizes, music, snacks, and sampling of local brews. Southern Season, University Mall in Chapel Hill. It is 67 degrees in Chapel Hill. Showers likely this afternoon. 70% chance of it. It's going to be breezy. High today in the low 70s. Good night for football tonight. It will be cloudy, though. 50-50 chance of rain. Probably late. Cooler temperatures. Lows tonight in the middle 50s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, beautiful weather. High tomorrow, 68 degrees. It'll really heat up at Carter-Finley Stadium tomorrow. Pretty good day for Carolina and NC State. 7:50 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond joins us now out of the intellectual corner of the show. How are you this morning, sir?
You have to buy admission tickets to get there?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And in your estimation, they're worth one plung nickel.
Exactly.
That's not true. All right, the word of the day, here we've already taken the path toward a definition. The word of the day is depredate. Ron, depredate. You done any depredation lately?
Depredation?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So you tell
how
what
do
you mean.
How do you feel about immigration? Depredation or exaltation or?
I'm in favor of all of that.
All right. D is in dog. D is in delightful. D-E-P-R-E, followed by date. D-A-T-E. D-E-P-R-E. D-A-T-E. Depredate. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a verb. Wiggles like a verb. Walks like a verb. It is a verb. All right, now tell me the definition of depredation or depredate.
I don't really know. Why don't you,
you
tell me?
You don't really care.
Why don't you tell me?
All right, to lay waste, to plunder, to ravage, to engage in plunder. Sounds like an Errol Flynn movie. You remember him?
Yes, I do.
All right, pal, there's your word of the day. Depredate, to lay waste, to plunder, to ravage. Ron, my man, I hope you have a delightful weekend, and I will speak with you in the new month. No, wait, this is the new month.
Yes, it is.
All right.
All right, buddy.
All right, take care. Be a good boy. Yeah. Bye.
You and the governor have a happy Thanksgiving. See you later, buddy.
Ouch.
All right. Thank you very much. It is Wayne Pond Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. You can do all that. We'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 752 at WCHL. 97.9 FM, WCHL's Ron Stutz. And, what a nice mask.
Thank you.
You had a great time yesterday. You just seem like the kind of person who would have a blast on Halloween.
I love it. Any excuse to dress up in something other than normal everyday attire, why not? Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. Be somebody else for a day.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, if you have a mask on or even a costume, you can do things that you wouldn't normally do.
Right, as long as nobody has a camera or a video recorder.
But if you were in a mascot uniform, for example, you would do stuff that you wouldn't normally have the audacity to do.
That's very true.
You know, and the same thing is if you're on a Halloween mask, everybody doesn't know who you are, so you're kind of free to do whatever you feel.
I think everyone likes stepping away from themselves and reality.
Well, sure. Yeah.
For a little while.
Yeah. My goodness, I like getting away from myself once in a while.
Oh, well, nobody feels the same way, but... Well,
let me just bet. I bet you have a Halloween-themed joke today.
I do. Just to kind of round it off, hope everyone had a great Halloween yesterday.
Yeah.
It's all survived the night.
Yeah.
And this is a tall tale.
Okay, so this is
from
like
a graveyard.
A Mark Stafford joke.
That's right. My very tall husband,
he's very tall. How tall is he, anyway?
6'6",
okay.
I believe.
Well,
all right.
About right.
Yeah. Crisscross. A tourist in Vienna is going past Vienna's famous graveyard on October 31st. All of a sudden, he hears some music.
His name is Chris Cross.
Yes, Chris Cross.
Okay.
Not sure. I don't think it has anything to do with anything. It's just a strange name.
All right.
No one is around. He hears music, but no one is around.
Uh-huh.
So he starts searching for the source. He finally locates the origin and finds it is coming from a grave with a headstone that reads, Ludwig van Beethoven, 1770 to 1827.
Beethoven's buried there.
That's
okay,
right.
Cool.
Then he realizes that the music is the Ninth Symphony, and it is being played backwards. Puzzled, he leaves the graveyard and persuades Tim Burr, a friend, to return with him. By the time they arrive back at the grave, the music has changed. This time it's the Seventh Symphony, but just like before, it's being played backwards.
Right.
Curious, the men agree to consult a music scholar. When they return with the expert, the Fifth Symphony is playing, again backward. The expert notices that the symphonies are being played in the reverse order in which they were composed.
Uh-huh.
The ninth, then the seventh, then the fifth. By the next day, the word is spread, and a throng of people have gathered around the grave. They're all listening to Second Symphony being played backward. Just then, the graveyard's caretaker ambles up to the group, and someone in the crowd asks him if he has an explanation for the music.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's nothing to worry about, says the caretaker. He's just decomposing. Did you see that one coming, Ron?
I did.
Oh, I had a feeling. Whenever you start laughing,
I thought there
a
might
third
be,
of the way through.
And there might be kind of a twist to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. But, just a little bit.
That's good. I like that.
All right. I'm glad you liked it.
Perfect for the Halloween season.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, have a great day and a great weekend.
You too.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Ann Houle of Chapel Hill is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Kristen Smith nominated you as a WCHL Hometown Hero for your work on the 2013 Fix-A-Home Committee. You were the chair of that committee. Tell me what you guys were doing.
Well, we were rehabilitating a house for a homeowner, low-income homeowner, who was unable to do some basic repairs and various things around the house that take a lot of money, you know, when she didn't have a whole lot of money to do it.
You had to coordinate a lot of real estate folks and maybe even other people to do this, right?
A whole lot of people were involved in this project. Our real estate folks were the volunteers who came in and helped fix various pieces of it, but also did a whole lot of painting and cleaning and yard work. And then we had a lot of skilled tradesmen and professionals who came in and helped us out.
I understand that Fix-A-Home is an annual community service project undertaken by the Greater Chapel Hill Association of Realtors. What's the idea behind this?
To give back to our community. We are sort of in the front lines of home ownership in our community in Chapel Hill. And so, you know, this is for us to make a difference in our community one home at a time.
And you love giving back to your community.
I do. I grew up here. This is my town. I like it a lot. And I see that there's such a need for this in our community. We don't really have another organization that does this kind of work. We have so many wonderful organizations like Habitat who build a home. But to go in and help someone who has been living in a home for a while and just unable to make repairs and maintain it, that no one else has been here doing that. And so to come together with all the tradesmen and skilled professionals that we come in contact with through our business, you know, plumbers, cabinetry people, electricians, tile men, I mean, all kinds of tradesmen that we work with on a daily, weekly, yearly basis.
Sure.
We're able to come out and give us, they like to give back to the community as well.
Thank you so much for doing what you do. And I know you said you love this town and it's because of you that it's an even better place today than it was yesterday.
It's a lot of fun and it's a lot of great people and great energy behind the project, and we hope to keep propelling it forward in the future.
Ann Houle, this year's chair of the annual community service project undertaken by the Greater Chapel Hill Association of Realtors. It's called Fix-A-Home. Ann Houle is a realtor with Fathom Realty, a virtual real estate firm in Raleigh, but she works out of her home in Chapel Hill. And she's today's WCHL Hometown Hero. Thanks, Ann, for doing what you do.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
How much should a good kitchen cost? Hi, I'm Bill Cederberg of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions. Since 1986, we've been helping Chapel Hillians fix up their kitchens, baths, basements, and everything in between, turning your dream into reality without busting your budget. We're an Angie's List Super Service Award winner, 3 years running, with three decades of repeat customers. Why tackle remodeling yourself? Let Cederberg Kitchens and Additions guide you through the whole process. Find us on Facebook and visit us at CederbergKitchens.com. Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, our team, your home.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Core Pilates. It's 68% off, $155 for four Pilates sessions, available now for $49. Pilates is designed to work the deepest muscles in the body with exercises that initiate from the core. The highly trained instructors at Carolina Core Pilates focus on helping each client meet their fitness needs. And with today's deal, you'll get one private session and three small group sessions. It's 68% off from Carolina Core Pilates, and it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
67 degrees in Chapel Hill, 66 in Carborough this morning. A cloudy day, breezy also later on in the day. 70% chance of rain high today in the low 70s. 50-50 chance of rain tonight with a low in the middle 50s. And then tomorrow, great day for football. Mostly sunshine with a high in the upper 60s.
You're listening to 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Chapel Hill Economic Development. Open for business, to business. Find out more on the web at opentobusiness.com.